Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Random Fandom. My name is Jim Cameron from the Crinard Podcast.
And my name is Bob Fleming from the Proctor Who Podcast.
And in case you haven't heard this before, what we do is we receive questions from our lovely listeners, questions or topics, and we chuck them into the Randominator.
Randominator? I can't believe that's stuck.
The Randominator! The randomizing machine here, high technology. It's got valves and everything. And it spits out a question, and Bob and I ruminate on it for a bit, and we try and cover, I don't know, four or five in the course.
Ruminate's very posh, Jim, for what we actually do, talk utter shit.
Yes.
For between 2 minutes and 20.
Yeah, ruminate is posh for verbal diarrhea.
Prepare for verbal diarrhea, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it'll be entering your ears any minute now. Well, it's already has, really, to be honest.
Who's spinning said randominator first, Jim?
Why don't you spin it, Bob?
Oh, I'll give it a spin. Come here, you bastard. Okay, so the first one, Jim, is from 42 to Doomsday podcast, isn't it? Very good podcast as well at that.
Lovely Australian fellas. Catch them while you can. They're going soon.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, February, I think they're finishing. But a big back catalogue to check out before they go.
Well, they say the Daemons are demons. How do you pronounce it? It's probably the Daemons, actually. Better in black and white or colour. Well, I think this is a fair argument, to be honest, Jim, for Doctor Who in, you know, particularly 70s Doctor Who in general. Mm. Your thoughts first, though.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because the first time I saw any of the Daemons, I think, was it the John Pertwee years VHS? They had one episode, didn't they? In black and white.
Yes, fabulous it was.
Yes, and it's extremely atmospheric in black and white. And it's that kind of story, isn't it? It could easily be like a early 60s sort of horror, couldn't it, in a way? You know, the atmospherics of it lend itself very well to black and white. It takes a little bit of the slight gaudiness of the era off it. And, of course, the CSO looks miles better in black and white. And there's plenty of horrible CSO in this one. So I haven't done it for a while, but I think now it's been brought up, I think the next time I watch Demons, I will try it in black and white again.
I think it's one of them, due to the sort of, you know, low production values, if you like, of pretty much all of classic Doctor Who, black and white hides a lot. And yes, also adds to the tone, because it has one tone, which is black and white. So kind of depend on the direction of it as well. You can, you know, how he shoots the cinematics, if you like, of the episode. It can add so much to it, really. I mean, it does look great in colour, or the way they've colourised it, shall we say. And it's nice to see it in that way, and the people that have spent time doing that, which is lovely. And it was the same with The Mind of Evil, wasn't it? That was in black and white, and they colourised that, didn't they?
Yeah, that's quite fun to watch in black and white, actually.
Yeah, I just think it's unusual to watch the Pertwee era, any of it in black and white. But I do think it just lends to the production values in a positive way. I think some of black and white Doctor Who looks absolutely stunning as well. Yeah. You know, I do think classic Doctor Who sometimes, well, a lot of time does look better in black and white. Until you get probably to, I mean, it's weird, the first season of Pertwee, I think they're kind of still using the colour palette of black and white, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's quite drab, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's what, obviously, it didn't really matter in the, you know, when it was in black and white, the colour palette, because there wasn't one. And I kind of think that adds to higher production values, but when they sort of realise they're in colour, they're like, let's make everything garish and colourful, and it looks a bit shit. But then you sort of get with the first three seasons of Tom Baker, again, the production values come back to more of a realistic thing. You know, they wouldn't look good in black and white. But I think, I don't know, you're kind of used to it. It's a difficult question to answer because you are used to it. But we are talking about just the Daemons, and I'm going to say for the effort they put into it, which is fabulous, for me, it does look better in colour, I'd say. But Doctor Who is awesome in black and white in general.
Yeah, I think that's one of the ones that you could perhaps, because of the atmospherics of it, you know, it might work better in black and white than some of the other ones that we used to see in colour. But I remember Ambassadors of Death was in black and white for a long time, wasn't it? And that's great in black and white as well. And the colourisation, I know it's incredibly difficult, but it's a bit muddy the colorization of that one. So again, next time I watch that, I might watch that in black and white. So I think it works with some others, as you say. Totally wrong, I think, for Baker's era. Mm. I don't know why, really. It just feels wrong.
Imagine Colin Baker's era in black and white.
Well, the coat would be easier to stomach.
Vengeance of Varos in black and white could be potentially a good story.
It could be interesting, yeah. And they were thinking of, in the McCoy era, they were thinking of making Happiness Patrol in black and white, like a film noir.
Yeah, cool. That would have worked, actually. That would have definitely worked, Jim.
I think it would, but yeah, I think the BBC said, well, there's no way we're putting anything out in black and white at prime time, particularly something new in black and white. You know, I just thought the public wouldn't accept it. But, you know, they're forever thinking the public can't accept stuff that they probably can.
Cool. So we're going black and white or colour?
Next time I watch it, I'll watch it in black and white because I've seen it so many times in colour.
So in answer to your question 42, Dimsip, we don't have an answer.
Regular listeners to the show will realise that that is not unusual.
It's up for debate.
Yeah, so thanks for the question. And shall I spin another one?
Oh, you spin away, Jim.
All right, I'll just give Votan a yank. Here's a topical one from Jeff Waddle. Has he contributed one to every episode so far?
Jeff is a legend to us podcasters, bless him.
He is, yeah. He's always providing feedback. God bless him. And
he's always got something to say as well, bless him.
Yeah, he has. And the Randominator likes him, clearly. Yeah, topical, as I say. Jeff asks, should we get some in-jokes about the gender change or not? Bob.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm guessing he means jokes about Jodie's doctor being female.
A sonic tampon. What is he kind of trying to get at? Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying that as that's what I think. But is that what Jeff's trying to? Not Jeff himself personally. It's his question. But is that is that the kind of thing he's meaning? Sonic tampon. It's probably the worst thing I could possibly have said.
Well, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think we've mentioned this before. We might have swerved a bullet in that Stephen Moffat didn't introduce a female doctor because we had enough terrible jokes about River Song changing from a young girl to a fully grown woman and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, he's a bit sort of, for all his qualities, he is a bit kind of schoolboy sniggery, isn't he, about anything to do with sex.
Oh, I used to have a todger, now I've got a vagina.
Well, he might be more subtle than that, Bob. I don't know. He might do double entendres rather than single entendres. Along those lines, certainly.
It'd be dreadful, wouldn't it? It would just ridicule what they're trying to do, in all seriousness, wouldn't it, really?
I think so. I mean, the temptation, I think he would have found unbearable, and you know, he would have given into it. I'm not so sure about Chibnall. I mean, I don't think they should make an enormous thing about the gender change, but neither should they ignore it because, you know, it's a thing, isn't it? Terminology.
I don't think they're going to do anything about it. I think they're not even going to mention it. I genuinely think that. I think it's just going to be, whatever, I'm the doctor. I do think that. I think he's that cleverer, well, not going to be a cleverer writer, but I just think it's going to be one of them. If you don't mention it, it's not there. It's kind of not there and you kind of forget about it. You just think that her is a doctor.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if they do a fresh start, I mean, anyone who's met the doctor will make a comment about the doctor's gender changing when they meet her after the regeneration. It would be very odd if they didn't. But if it's a complete fresh start and they don't meet anyone,
it's completely fresh.
Perhaps they could just skip it.
I think it is going to be completely and utterly fresh. I'm saying there's no writer that's been in Doctor Who before. There's possibly no, you know, I think we've got no previous. It is completely afresh. So it'd be quite interesting how they go about it. And if they don't mention it, I think it's one of them. It'll just become normal.
I certainly don't think they should make a massive thing out of it. But, I mean, there must be narrative possibilities with a female Doctor that there weren't with a male. And cleverer writers, well, I'm not a writer, but cleverer people than me who write will, you know, will have some of those in mind. And, you know, that they should take the opportunity to do those things because, you know, it's a fresh area of possibilities, isn't it? So I don't think they should ignore it, but neither do I think they should bang on about it incessantly. So somewhere in between.
In the middle.
I think. Yeah.
Sitting on the fence, Jim.
Yep. I've got splinters in my behind.
Excellent.
So okay. Are we done on that one?
I think that we should move on. Okay.
We're sat on the fence with both of them so far, so I'm sure it will continue.
let me get my hands on this random one here. Come here. Spinning away. Right, and pulled out the hat this time is a question from David Kitchen. Thank you, David. And it says, what Doctor Who stories would each of you put on if you wanted a good laugh? Both stories to laugh with and stories to laugh at. Wow, that's a toughie, man.
Yeah, took it, isn't it?
I'm going to come to you first, Jim, while I think about it.
Well, I mean, it's an excellent question because I think all fans and, you know, particularly podcasters, actually, particularly, I would say, British and Australian podcasters like David and us, get quite a lot of fun about laughing at Doctor Who at times, don't we? You know, particularly classic Who, you know.
No, I don't. That's the point. I don't. I only laugh at it when I'm with other people or non-Who fans. When I'm on my own, I never laugh. I take it all seriously. Honestly, I'm terrible. Even The Invisible Enemy, for example, I think it's serious. You know, I take Doctor Who very seriously, Jim. And I don't... I've been genuinely serious. I'm not even being sarcastic. I've never laughed at the production values in Doctor Who or Doctor Who. I've never laughed at it.
Well, you make me feel very cheap and evil for laughing at it. Actually, there was a public moment. Because obviously, when you know, if you're sitting at home or with your mates laughing at Doctor Who, the people who made those programmes don't know. But I went to the Mind of Evil showing in that anniversary year, you know, when they get showed a story from each doctor at the BFI. Mm. And you remember the bit where the American ambassador sees that vision because of the Keller machine. He sees that vision of that Chinese dragon. You know, they do that kind of flashes into his view, which is kind of just about okay. Then they do a full length shot of it, don't they? Standing in the corner of the room. And almost everybody, I guess, in the auditorium laughed their asses off when this thing appeared. And the people who made the show, some of the people who made the show were in that room. And I laughed involuntarily because I hadn't seen it for a long time. So when I saw that, I laughed involuntarily, as I guess most other people did. And then I felt really bad because the people who were, you know, trying to make the programme as good as they possibly could were in that room and saw us laughing at it. They might have had a chuckle themselves, but that, I guess that isn't necessarily the point. I'm not quite sure what my point is, other than I'd like to laugh at it, but, you know, it's a kind of a guilty laugh.
Do you laugh on your own when you watch it on your own, though?
Only occasionally. Something like Keys of Marinus when the Vord trips over his flipper. Well, I will laugh involuntarily at that, say.
I don't. I only laugh when I'm watching it with non-Who fans. Okay, so my best friend I used to live with, I watched... Oh, what was it? I think it was Vengeance on Varos. It was a Colin Baker adventure.
Right.
And
you laughed at Jason Connery. Well, we all did.
Well, I'm so blinkered to it. So I'm just watching it, right? And he sat there. And I see this little f***ing grin on his face. And it's my TV show. I don't care. What are you laughing at? And it was the bit with the angry... He called them Angry Pants Men, right?
Oh, so the old men in pants.
The old men in pants just going, and I just pissed myself laughing. I was like, yeah, you're right. That is f-ing ridiculous, man. I can't defend that. But if he hadn't been there, I'd have taken that totally seriously. This is Doctor Who. You know, there's a point to, you know, you got to look beyond the effects and you look to the story. And it's stuff like that, when I watch it with people that are non-Who fans, So that's been a running joke with us for years now. The Angry Pants Men. Anytime Doctor Who's mentioned, it was the most hilarious thing you'd ever seen. So yeah, from a serious point of view, when I'm on my own, I never laugh at the production values. I never laugh at Doctor Who. I love it so much, and I'm too blinkered, possibly.
Wow, that is amazing.
It is, isn't it? What's to laugh at? I don't know. I don't think. You know, I know there's the odd funny line and stuff in Doctor Who, but I never would put on it to laugh at. I mean, I do take it far too seriously, I think.
Mm. Well, I mean, some of them are more comedic. You would laugh, you know. David makes a distinction, quite rightly, that you can either laugh with something or you can laugh at it.
No, absolutely. I get what you say, but if I'm going to laugh at something or laugh with something or whatever, I will put on a comedy. Whereas I just take Doctor Who far too seriously. No, you're laughing at me, Jim.
Have you sought any help for this problem, Bob?
No, this is deep, man. This has got into my psyche. I am weird. Am I one of the virgins that I've spoken about so frequently on this show?
I think you've regained your virginity, Bob.
I've definitely had sex with a girl, but I think I've gone full virgin again. Maybe just chill out a bit on the old Doctor Who.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, all right. Well, let me say some of the ones I would laugh with. I would certainly laugh with City of Death. I think this script is extremely funny.
Pirate Planet. Yeah, Douglas Adams. Definitely.
Pirate Planet. Yeah, for me, not so much. I find that more irritating than funny, but certainly City of Death. Something like The Lodger, say, I think is funny. There's some good lines in there. And, you know, all through The New Hope, for instance, you know, there are laughs to be had, aren't there? And there are witty remarks, you know, particularly perhaps in the Tom Baker era, and quite a few of the things that Patrick Troughton's Doctor says, you know, just like wit, you know, amusing, witty remarks. There aren't very many full-on comedy Doctor Whos, are there, I don't think.
I think unintention, actually, thinking about it, I've done some rewatches of some Hartnell stuff recently, and there's, I can't remember which one it was we were watching, but Hartnell gets some great lines. I think it's in maybe Dalek Master Plan or something like that. I can't remember. And Chesterton starts asking everyone for the coats, and the Doctor goes, What are you trying to do? I'm trying to get back to the TARDIS, not start a jumble sale, dickhead.
Yeah, there's a chase.
And I think there's one where Ian just twats a monster in the face for no reason, then slaps Vicky on the ass. Just loads of like random stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the chase as well. Actually, that is one of the ones I would both laugh with and laugh at in the same story.
That is incredible. That the chase, I pissed myself quite a lot actually, but I think I was definitely laughing more. No, I was laughing at it because Chesterton just went off his tits, man. He was off his. I think he had a couple of lines of coke and started smacking monsters and, you know, whatever he was doing. It was hilarious.
Spent too much time at the BBC bar, I think.
Possibly.
Before he got there. But yeah, that's an interesting one because it is supposed to be comedic, isn't it? And yeah, a lot of the comedy falls on its arse, but some of it is funny, like the jumble sale line and things like that. Also, stuff that's funny is like, you know, there's a Dalek in shot when it shouldn't be in the haunted house section, and there's a camera in shot when it shouldn't be in the, when I get to the jungle planet Mechanus. So yeah, I reserve the right to laugh at that kind of stuff without feeling too guilty. And, you know, with Vord flipping over his flipper in Keys of Marinus and any number of sort of fluffs and stuff.
Actually, thinking about it, Alpha Centauri, who looks, it was just a blatantly a penis in a cloak.
In a shower curtain.
I feel this is very therapeutic for me, Jim, to talk about this. But I think the chase for me, definitely.
Yeah, that's a good one. But yeah, so legitimately, I guess for me, it would be City of Death and something like The Lodger, and ones to laugh at, Time Lash, you know.
Oh my God.
I find myself laughing.
Paul Darabi, what a fantastic actor.
For all the wrong reasons, you know. almost every laugh in there is unintentional.
Paul Darabi, isn't it? He is amazing. He's so 80s Doctor Who actor. He's incredible. I nearly bought his book once at a Doctor Who convention. Just because he's such a character.
Are You Him or whatever it's called, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's autobiography, yeah.
But it's absolutely awful, but hilarious at the same time, like he is.
It's funny, though, what you say about, you know, watching it on your own. I mean, I can find, if I watch Time Lash on my own, I find it quite depressing because it's so awful.
Yeah.
If I have a few beers and watch it with a mate or two, it's hilarious. And I have a great time with it. So yeah, it's about what you're watching and who you're watching it with, really. So there's something for everybody during the course of Doctor Who, I think. There are laughs to be had, whether they're intentional or not. But as I say, you know, I feel a bit guilty laughing about the stuff that people have been trying very hard to get right.
And that's a part of it as well, isn't
but,
it?
You know, that's life. And, you know, I think on both of our podcasts, you know, we're quite happy to take the piss out of that kind of stuff. But, you know, it comes from a place of affection, I think, because, you know, we love the show. Otherwise, we wouldn't waste so much time doing podcasts about it. Do you know what I mean?
Very true.
So I think, you know, our devotion allows us a little bit of leeway in terms of laughing at the programme. So I don't feel that guilty about it, to be honest.
Did we actually answer a question there? We did, didn't we? Wow.
I think we might have done. Hopefully, David, that's satisfactory.
Amazing. Is it yours to run dominate, Jim?
Yes, it's time for me to dominate. Let me pull the lever. Okay, this next question is from 10 Minute Torchwood, which currently is a Twitter account, but there's a podcast on its way, apparently, so keep your eyes out for that.
Cool.
And it's a Torchwood-related question, I guess. They ask, what's your Doctor Who spin-off pitch? So I guess if you wanted to pitch a spin-off of Doctor Who, Bob, what do you think would be fertile territory?
Right, I'm going to put this into some context, actually, thinking about this. Mm-hmm. There's a podcast which has done, I think, 3 or 4 series now, called, I think it's The World's Worst Idea for a Podcast or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head, but basically it's two guys from New Zealand, okay? And they review a shit film every week for a year. So the same film, yeah? They have mm-hmm. to watch it once a week for 52 weeks, and after they watched it, they record an episode. So I think one of them, they started off with Grown Ups 2 or something like that. I can't remember. Sorry to be a bit vague. But the whole thing of it is they pick a really shit film, okay? Mm-hmm. And they watch it once a week and review it every week for 52 weeks for comedy effect.
The same film?
The same film.
Every week?
Yeah, yeah. And it's a shit film, okay? So I think one of them, like, says, the first one was Grown Ups 2, okay? So after you've kind of reviewed it 3 or 4 times, you've reviewed a shit film, haven't you? But then you have to watch it another 48 times, okay? So what they do is they find... Okay. So, at one, you know, when they get down the line, they'll focus on one little extra character, right? And make a whole backstory for this one little extra character in that whole thing, yeah? So I think you probably know where I'm going with this. You find some character that's being completely irrelevant and been in it for 3 seconds and make a spin-off of that character who was shit as well. No one's going to obviously buy into this idea, but dependent on said character, you can make this quite funny. So I'm just trying to think, you know, who is being awful, you know, and you could see where they go on their adventures.
What about the young Soldeed or something like that?
Yeah, or... I don't know.
Alpha Centauri, the early years.
Imagine Peter Purvis when he plays the American on the top of the Empire State Building.
Lord.
And I love Peter Purvis. I love him as Stephen. The American on top of the Empire State Building is the worst character ever in Doctor Who.
Morton Dill.
Yeah, Morton Dill. Imagine a spin-off of him. Even better, Jim, this I would actually like to watch. What's the dude in John Pertwee's era that falls off his bike all the time?
Pigbin Josh.
Pigbin Josh spin-off. That's what I want to see. It would be like a really shit Mr. Bean because he never did any words or voices. Or if you wanted to get to some serious drama, the guy in Spearhead from Space who blatantly abused his wife. Hey, get in the house, Darren. Make me some biscuits.
Sam Seeley.
Sam Seeley spin-off. This is the kind of characters I am talking about that would love in a spin-off of Doctor Who. Rather than, you know, your usual, oh, let's have the Torchwood Shiny Gang or, you know, the Doctor's Daughter. You know, let's get some of the real gritty characters or the really irrelevant characters in Doctor Who and we'll you know, expand on them because they've got so much freedom for the narrative. They've got no real backstory. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the thing is, of course, Big Finish are probably doing most of these characters already in 5 series box sets.
They can do anyway, won't they, Big Finish?
Yeah, I'm waiting for the adventures of Mr. Ollis in the Bird Sanctuary from the Three Doctors.
I'd love to see Mr. Chin in Thailand. You know, something like that.
Mr. Chin meets the Lady Boys.
Mr. Chin and the attack of the dick bitches. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, that kind of shit. That's what I want to see. Mm. The adventures of Pigbin Josh would be hilarious. It would be like a horrendously wank Mr. Bean.
It'll garner about 5 viewers on some obscure satellite channel.
I'd watch it. Put it that way, Jim. And you might.
Yeah, I think I'd have to.
Put it this way. All of the things I've said are not as bad as Class. So,
they missed a trick, didn't they? What were they thinking?
The Black and White Guardian mud wrestling. Stuff like that. Anything. The tale of Tom Baker's tassel of his scarf. You know, just something completely irrelevant. Spin off, fresh start.
Christmas with Binro the Heretic.
Yeah, no baggage, you see. And that would be Binro's awesome. I love Binro. So, you know, there's many things you could spin off from Doctor Who. So, Big Finish, if you're listening, it's f***ing loads for you there. We can't wait to absorb this in our ears.
That's about the next 8 years of their output that's just set out there, I think. Well.
That was a bit of a rant from me. Have you got anything, Jim?
I don't really like Doctor Who spin-offs that much. I mean, I think Torchwood was okay. Sarah Jane Adventures was great, you know, because it's a good idea, you know, just pitch it for the younger audience. But, you know, that's been done. Tortured was an attempt to pitch it for the older audience, but, you know, they didn't quite get it right until the third series. Look at us, we're swearing and talking about sex a lot, therefore we must be adult. But, and yeah, perhaps the 10-minute Torchwood podcast will change your minds about that when it comes out. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's a particularly great idea to dilute the brand. I think when you're struggling, everyone is struggling for viewers, diluting the brand is perhaps not the best idea at the moment. I can't think of anything that hasn't been done already that is aching to be done. I mean, I think a kind of unit thing was kind of done in the 70s anyway, you know, with the Doctor in it. I wouldn't be interested in seeing modern unit in their own series. I don't think Kate's particularly well acted or a decent, interesting character. So, yeah, for me, I'd rather all efforts are concentrated on the parent programme, really. Sorry if that's boring, but so I feel, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Pigpen Josh. The glorious adventures of Pigpen
Josh.
Yeah,
now you see. Now that they are, I'm interested in the minor characters.
Thought that'd spike your interest, Jim. Excellent. Well, I hope that answers your question.
Yes, and good luck with your podcast. I'll have to subscribe when it comes out.
Yeah.
Good, we've got time for another one, do you think? No, Bobster?
Let's do one more, mate. Right, and what's come out is Conrad Slater. Hiya, Conrad. And his question is, which of the well-known monsters do you think you could take in a fight? One weapon is allowed, crowbar maybe. Could you deck a Dalek? Well, Jim, you big, tough, southern bastard. What could you have in a fight?
I'll deck a Dalek with boughs of holly in the festive spirit.
Happy Christmas, everybody.
Yeah. I could take a Monoptera, I'm fairly confident.
A what?
A Monoptera.
That's not a famous one, is it?
Well, there's some Zabi in it. I think they're famous. Well, maybe no, they're not. Maybe they're not up there.
Let's put a reel in. At least two times it's been Doctor Who.
Okay, all right. A modern Sontaran, I could do the whole thing where you put your arm out and put it on his head, and with your arm outstretched, he'd be flailing with punches and you can't get anywhere near you. yeah. Any others? Could you deck a Dalek, Bob?
Big stairs. Classic era. New ones? Mm. I don't know, man. They're a bit scary. You know, old Daleks are a bit shit. New Daleks are a bit more scary. I tell you what, Cyberman. I'd love to wrestle one.
No doubt you would. Would you cover yourself in baby oil first?
Again, pretty much, I think through all of my only weapon, through all of the famous Doctor Who monsters is going to be lube. Because the Cybermen are very grippy, aren't they? And I don't think they can grip a lubed-up forceps. Do you call them that? I don't know. I've never been to the gym in my life. I don't know what they call them. But like, they couldn't grip you. If you lubed up, they'd be like all slippy and trying to grip you real hard. You'd be like, oh, I'm like a little ninja fish. A lot of lube, basically. That's all so you need to defeat all Doctor Who monsters. I don't know what the Doctor's been thinking of all these years.
Well, maybe he hasn't found the lube planet yet.
I mean, it'd be knackered if you did find the planet of the lube people, because you'd be fighting lube on lube. That doesn't work. You need a more frictional monster to make yourself
like a Zygon. Yeah. Somebody grab hold of.
Oh yeah, I mean that you couldn't fight a Zygon with lube. Absolutely not.
This handles it, but they're fairly slimy. Well, the old ones are slimy. The new ones look exceedingly dry to me.
Well, maybe they need the lube.
Maybe they do. Maybe they stop being so grumpy. Yeah, lubed up.
How did you defeat the new dry Zygons? I give them a tub of lube.
Got some KY.
KY chili to
what? Seems to do the trick.
But also, you could defeat any monster with K9's laser, because that's what they did in the late 70s.
He became like a patrolling weapon for the Doctor.
Until he ran out of batteries, you know what I mean?
He's like, look at me, I'm the Doctor, I never use weapons. K9, kill him. Didn't quite work, really, in character when you think about it. But, other monsters, I don't know. In the old days, you could just put an old Thal cloak under a Dalek and it'd grind to a halt.
Or gold in a sideman's chest plate. That's a bit shit as well, isn't it? Do you know what
I
mean?
You could walk past a sideman with if you had a gold tooth and they'd collapse. That's how bad it got, wasn't it?
It was bad.
Big Monsters Ice Warrior. Just turn the heating up.
That's shit. These are really shit remedies. You know, it's a radiator to defeat an Ice Warrior, gold to defeat a Cyberman, a cape to defeat a Dalek.
Yeah, anti-plastic to defeat the Autons.
Lube to defeat all monsters, apart from the lubey ones. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say the Dravins.
The Dravins. Lube up a Dravin. Now that, Jim, is a question for another time. I think have we done enough, Jim?
Yeah, we've done too much.
Have we gone far enough, Jim?
Yes, probably, and then a bit further. That'll do us for now, I think. Thanks again, everyone, for your questions. Splendid stuff.
Bless you.
As always.
I've been Bob Fleming from the Pro to Here podcast. Thank you for listening, dear listeners, and goodbye.
And I've been Jim Cameron from the Crinoid podcast. Thank you for listening. And don't forget, you can email your topics and questions to us at random.fandom@mail.com. See you next time.
Bye-bye.